Greetings and good day. Welcome to Happy Valley, a For All Mankind podcast. Enjoy the Swan Lake music. I'm Donnie.
I'm Brian.
And we are here today to talk all things For All Mankind Season 4, Episode 9, Brazil. I'm like halfway through this and I'm like, what is Brazil? Why is it called Brazil? Oh, that's why it's called Brazil.
Yeah.
Oh.
Those jerks. They made us happy. They made us think that there was going to be a happy ending.
I was in a glass case of emotion. Thank you so much for doing this to me, giving me a heart transplant, and then ripping the heart out and watching me die on the table. That's what they did.
I think so. There's been some tense episodes. This was the entire time I'm looking for who's going to get, you know, whacked.
Yeah.
Who's, like I'm reading into everything that's happening. And
me too.
This
me
was
too.
Just, I was on edge the entire time.
Penultimate episodes typically end with something big, and this one absolutely did. By the way, we're going to talk all things this episode. Guys, spoilers. If you have not watched this episode, stop listening to this podcast. Yeah. It's the only time I'll ever tell you to stop listening to this podcast. Go watch the episode and then come back, because in about 10 seconds, I'm going to talk some big stuff here.
Yeah. Well, if you want to weigh in, how do people write us, Donnie?
Yes, happyvalleyfam@gmail.com. We had a couple come in this week, a little bit less than we've seen over the last few weeks. We still had a lot of listeners, but you guys, apparently you just agree with everything that we say, and we've become an echo chamber, which I also hate.
Oh.
So don't be an echo chamber. Tell us how Brian is totally right about Milos and how I'm way too optimistic. I like to hear these things. Come on.
No, yeah. Honestly, like, we've got one episode left. We'd love to hear your theories. There are, we're going to talk about those at the end.
Yes.
And just so it's on everybody's radar, we're going to do an episode next week. Of course, we'll do a wrap up episode.
Yeah.
And then there has been talk of going back through, I don't know if we'll do that immediately, but we'll go back through seasons 1 through 3. And do kind of a rewatch.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. I've watched through the entire series twice, and there's big set pieces that, yes, on a random Thursday afternoon during my lunch break, I will watch a sequence here and there from certain episodes, but being able to go through this again and do that and get your perspective, Brian, I really am looking forward to doing.
Well, and you say you've watched through twice. You've watched through twice, but you have seen scenes hundreds of times.
7 minutes of terror, that sequence of landing on Mars. Yeah, I've watched it dozens of times. And Kuz landing on an asteroid, Molly Cobb getting saved, the tank toss. I mean, there's lots of big set pieces there that I've watched. Rest in peace, Gordo and Tracy.
Russian moon attack?
The dude burning alive in his suit? I don't like that scene.
They stormed the base.
See, you like that sequence more than I do.
Oh, I love that sequence.
Yeah. It took way too long for decompression to happen, like on the bridge of the command and control, whatever you want to call it, for Jamestown in that scene. So I'm nitpicking there, but like it took way too long for that guy to get vacuum sucked out the window. Like, way too long.
But the
I'm laughing about a dude getting sucked out into the vacuum of space. That's dark.
But just how they like nailed the physics of that is amazing. Like, all of that's amazing. I love that.
It really, yeah, it's good. It's good. Also, like, how did they climb up outside the exterior to like climb up through the window to get in? Like, there's lots of little things there that bugged me, but it is what it is.
We're going to watch that scene and I'm going to love it.
By the way, we are totally off the rails, but I was reading through an alternate timeline of the Love in the Skies movie was made about Gordo and Tracy by Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan played them, but then like people had like all this other stuff, and the Russian cosmonaut who was the leader, they cast Patrick Stewart as like I just this up-and-coming guy named Patrick Stewart, which by the way may or may not exist in Star Trek canon, which I have theories and I have things I want to talk about when we get to that point in this episode as well. But man, I feel like I have to at least start at the end, and I'll give more analysis as we go. But rest in peace, Sergey.
Yeah.
Sergey. I don't know if you can hear me clapping there, but I do give a standing ovation for the performance. I also have opinions here and how they handled this death. We needed a big hit, and they gave us one.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And I have a controversial take on it, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
I can't wait to hear that from you. So we're going to go ahead and open up the episode. Scene opens on Happy Valley. We're down on the fourth level underground. We're in Ghost Ops. The team is trying to ping the Discriminator. Miles can't count. He says, "This is the 20th time." And then like Dev corrects him and says, "Actually, this is the 19th time that we've tried this, you idiot."
And they have a little friendly, like,
yeah, yeah. But Dev's really thinking in his head, this guy's an idiot. And how did we recruit him for this? The 19th attempts have failed so far. Attempt number 20, and the pings are still failing. No joy. They've got 48 hours to get this thing replaced before the burn happens. And the clock is ticking.
Yeah, I just have one note on this scene. I put that Miles is garbage.
Off
the wall take for me, but when I saw him, that's the first thought I had, so I wrote that down.
To quote Elf, that's shocking. Didn't see that coming from you at all. Meanwhile, on Ranger One, they're doing simulations on the burn. That so far they've been successful on the drills and everything. The clock stopped at 19 minutes and 58 seconds and the burns are working, and I'm talking with my hands right now a lot and I don't know why. But we see Sam and she's up to something. She's standing over by the Discriminator, and when nobody's watching, she pulls out a little container with some fluid in it and starts squirting it towards the Discriminator. I actually liked this idea.
Yeah.
Here's my thing too. Like, one drop is not going to fry this thing, but I feel like she's been poisoning it over this last month. It's been a month since they launched. They've been trying to get the new Discriminator up and running for like a month. I think she's slowly been poisoning this thing. Mm. I put in my notes here. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other thing I pointed out here, just in my notes, the production value of the Zero G, I thought they did some good wire work here, or just the camera trickery shots with like not showing the 1 foot that's on the ground or something.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job with that in this scene.
They really did. And I love the detail of the little foot hooks throughout the ship. Yeah, I thought that was really good.
Totally.
One question I had here was, Has Sam just looked suspicious for a month?
Like, she kind of had that sketch face, didn't she? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to believe that she's been playing it cool.
I like the progression that we see. And the show does this so well with the time jumps.
Right.
Just showing progression where, like, she's not being watched by, what's his name?
Right. Drill Sergeant.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drill Sergeant isn't like over her shoulder 24/7. She's definitely, she's been incorporated into the group.
Yes.
She's not the outsider. At least it doesn't seem like she is. So, and I thought that was believable. I like what they've done with her character. I think she's been a solid addition to the cast. Really do.
I think they could have done a lot more with her in the beginning because she was just a side character. I mean, you even mentioned like, why even get to know her name, because she's so, sidelined.
Yeah.
But they could have done a lot more with her, but I've come to like her.
Yeah. Kudos. Discriminator starts smoking and it fails here. And that's
when you know something's gone bad, when it starts smoking.
Exactly. We get this wide shot of the Ranger One and it's got Goldilocks and it's heading towards Mars, and holy smokes, pun intended, but I'm ching. Goldilocks is huge compared to the Ranger. Just some details I noticed here. I mean, the scale, obviously, much bigger than XF Kronos, the first asteroid they attempted to capture. and they don't have cables going all the way around this thing. It's like they're like attached onto it, and the ship is oriented on the front of the asteroid as opposed to behind it. So we're going to, I guess, push against it to try to slow it down, which actually makes way more sense for me. Mm-hmm. But they talked about this thing spinning. And
yeah, that's what I didn't.
It is not spinning. No, it's not spinning at this point. So how did we get it to not spin? And I mean, obviously it's convenience. They want to tell a story here. Yeah. But I felt like they set up some complexity there that we didn't get to see on screen.
Yeah, the fact that they mentioned it and they said, like, this is spinning wildly, like, they made it sound like this was going to be a huge undertaking because of the spinning. Specifically, yeah.
Yeah, so just they are definitely wanting to get in our heads, drill in our heads, that this asteroid is massive. And
with like the Star Wars opening scene reveal of the asteroid.
Basically. And there's just so many ways that this thing can go wrong. And when we get to theories about the finale, I'll delve into those a little bit more. So opening credits roll. And then we go right back to Ranger. They're having a staff meeting. They've pulled the Discriminator, and this puppy is fried. Sam, again, incorporated into the rest of the crew. She takes the initiative to go pull the replacement. Thanks, Mercy. And she goes and pulls, of course, the switcheroo from her bag, which is I guess it's a Discriminator, but it's been reprogrammed, or it's not necessarily a counterfeit, but it will accept pings from ghost ops. So that puppy gets installed. And we segue down to Happy Valley. Kelly is going over data with Dev while he plays with Alex.
Yeah, he's not really even paying attention.
Yeah, but I loved this scene. I thought it was great. I love just the rapport that Dev has built with Alex here. Yeah. It's wonderful. We do get some fun tidbits about Kelly's expeditions, plural. Mm-hmm. And that they have found methane in places where they don't think they should be able to find methane because it's not near volcanoes. I had to go back. By the way, Brian, I went back and I checked the subtitles here. Do you watch streaming programs with the subtitles on?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
I actually have strong opinions about that. Like for me, it's a more immersive experience.
Yeah. I get told it's because I'm old, but yes, there are times when like you're like, what did they say? And the subtitles tell you. And there's actually a scene later on. I wrote this down that if you didn't have subtitles on, you'd have no idea what they were talking about. And I feel like there's some important details that come out through the subtitles. So
I think I know which one you're talking about, and bring it up again when we get to that point, please.
Okay.
But I do love here is methanogenic bacteria. Which could be life. So some methane coming off of some bacteria, apparently. And
no clue, but I believe it.
It's very interesting. Tell me more. I think there's more teeing up of things for the future. I'm not even calling it table setting, but they're definitely saying Kelly's busy here. And Dev's like, this is great. Keep doing what you're doing. I can't wait for you to be the person who finds life. And he's ready to leave.
Yeah.
And Kelly's like, hold up a sec. What's going on? Like, you've been hanging out with my dad a lot, and there's this whole conversation that happens here that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and they end that conversation with her kind of hand-waving, I guess you guys would be, and he doesn't tell me stuff, but she's on to him.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
I also just noticed this set that they were on. This was the Helios rover from season 3 that's still attached to the Happy Valley base. So like Dev and Alex were sitting in like the driver and the passenger seats down in the front of that thing.
That's right.
Which also means that this is the same place where Alexei died, which is kind of dark. But I just thought that this was, I know. So that also kind of bummed me out again. Meanwhile, back on the third floor of Happy Valley, we have a conversation between Milosh and Ed, and they're talking about how they need to have some surveillance here, and they are asking for North Korea's help to have access to their spy cameras, security cameras that they've hacked into.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure here, but they're asking for Lee's help.
Yeah, that was one of my questions is, did they place the cameras, or is this something existing that they're tapping into. I imagine it's something existing they're tapping into.
That was my thought.
But, yeah. But which is also weird, but that's fine. I mean, you have cameras over your house. I would imagine that sure. They have cameras on a base on Mars. So,
yeah, no question that they exist. I thought it seemed a little strange, clandestine, that North Korea was tapping into said cameras. But alas, Lee wants an update here on his wife. And I feel like Milosh is just kind of dancing around it, trying to stall as long as he possibly can here.
Ilya 2.0.
Ilya 2.0, 1,000%. Yeah. All of the things. At least I felt like it became clearer to me in this scene that Lee doesn't want to go back home either. So, yeah. I mean, we obviously know North Korea is a garbage place, and he doesn't want to go back there.
Wow.
So I think he sees Mars as his out.
Yeah. This is one of many times, but this is like the most in your face that he is not a patriot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we see that play out later and throughout this, but like his loyalties are not to North Korea. He knows that it is a dangerous place. It's a place he does not want to be a part of. Yep.
Right. But he needs to get his wife out before he, yes, quote unquote, pulls the trigger on any action that would sever his ties to North Korea. So totally get that. Yeah, that wasn't really completely clear to me until this point. I wrote down, this is a good quote that he had. He said, "It is good to have family with you, as you do." He's looking at Ed as he was saying that. I liked it. Yeah. So Lee's on board with helping out with getting them access to the cameras. And we then segue down to the fourth floor. It was a fun little shot kind of going through the floor. I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. And they have access to the cams and the mics, and they're able to listen in, and they hear in comms that they have confirmed that the replacement discriminator has been installed, which then they initiate another ping test, and Ghost Ops is successful, meaning they will be able to transmit the counterfeit message that causes the burn to last 25 minutes instead, meaning that this asteroid is going to end up in Martian orbit, if all things go according to plan.
And Ed or Dev, they say, "We control their engines now." And
yes,
like that just put like a pit in my stomach of just like, man, this is going to go wrong. Like just the way that he said that, I'm like, this is going to. And then as this unfolds, man, I'm just crawling.
To quote Chris Pratt on one of my favorite shows of all time, Parks and Recreation, "The show must go wrong. It always goes wrong." Like,
yeah.
There's so much foreshadowing in this episode.
Mm. It's going to be a mess. And I don't want to harp on this, but like, I really hate that Miles is just part of the gang. And like, not because I hate Miles, but because like, they didn't earn it. Like, he just is. It's like, he's this oafish, stupid man.
Right.
That is so selfish with a garbage family, and now he's just one of the guys, and he's smart and confident and great, and like he could have started off that way. I don't
know. My one counterpoint to you is he one of the guys, or is this a keep your friends close and your enemies closer? And this is a relationship of convenience, and they don't want to let him loose lips sink ships. How many more analogies can I find here? You got to keep him, like, you got to keep tabs on where this guy's at. So make sure he just stays in Ghost Ops as much as possible.
Maybe, like, so the scene with him and Dev, and Dev, he says 20 times, Dev says 19. You read that as Dev being like, I read that as like the buddies, like, you know, just elbowing each other. Like, yeah, it's actually 20. I feel like he's one of the guys. And it, again, you said this really well, is there is a pile on the cutting room floor of Miles, you know, scenes that just got cut. And it just feels lazy, and it feels beneath them to have this big of a storyline just, you know.
Yeah. They are reinventing a character that we were introduced to this year.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. And so in the timeline at this point, we're supposed to be like in September of 2003. And there hasn't been enough time to progress for him to have this personality change. That's what really bugs me about the whole thing.
He's just so confident and cocky and kind of smart. And again, he is like in charge of this universal operation and can get anything anywhere for anyone. And it's like, okay, episode one, Miles isn't doing this stuff.
No, not at all. Not at all. So yeah, lots of head scratching. I don't want to park here anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'm done.
Moving on, we're at the Malakau Space Center. We're in a business meeting, and they're talking about timelines for when they'll be able to start mining and actually getting some sort of return on investment. It's going to be like a 2-year delivery timeline. Marv isn't super happy about that because Gore's going to be disappointed with that information, which totally, to me, makes a ton of sense because you've got re-elections coming up in about a year, and they want to have some sort of result before the election happens, which... that to me is the most believable scenario.
Yeah.
Marv's encouraging them to keep on working. Aleta has a comment here about when are we going to approve the funding for the next generation Mars transports, which I thought was interesting. Like, are they building new ships that are even better tech? And then they're stonewalling because Mars is about to get defunded because you don't have a need for Happy Valley anymore. So I'm reading into all that nuance there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly, I think, what's going on. We learn more about that later, but Marv knows that Mars is dead.
Right. Yeah. I think so, too. We also get a transition here into, I think, just some back and forth with Aleta and Margo, where they do seem to be warming up to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, their relationship is radically different.
Yeah. So, and I will credit our man, Sergei, for bringing Aleta into the gray here. I see a different Aleta here. I don't see the black and white, good versus evil. Everything's in the gray here, and it's not just about the work anymore, because Aleta's like, I'm tired of, and here's a reveal of passing these notes back and forth between you and Sergei. Sergei has been involved with calculations and lunar trajectories and all kind of stuff over this last month, and Aleta is tired of being the middleman. I'm having you both over to my house, and we're going to work this thing out.
Okay. Do you feel like she's tired of passing notes, or do you feel like she was wanting to get them, give them a chance to be together?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably both.
Yeah. Because I feel like, well, we'll get to it when we get to the scene, but I feel like she's friendly with Margo at this point. Like,
They're good. I feel like they're good. They've come to terms, and good. I can believe that. That's fine.
Yeah, I do too.
Meanwhile, back at Happy Valley, the North Korean goober, which is what I just call him. I think his actual name is Commander Cho, but I'm just going to call him North Korean goober. That's what I have in my notes here. NK goober.
And he is a patriot.
He absolutely is a North Korean patriot. The People's Republic of Korea. And he knows the static on his monitor. And of course, anytime you have static on your LCD display, the first thing you should do is just hit the top of it.
Hit it. Yeah.
That's going to make that static go away every time. Yes. Coming from this is just pro tip from an IT professional who also has a small but moderately successful YouTube channel. Whenever you have static on your display, just hit the top of it and it'll go away.
Yep.
Yeah. North Korean goober is not able to make the static go away. And awkward pause.
I was just going to say, like, if you hit it on the top and that doesn't work, check for devices that are connected to it.
Which he does. He starts tracing, and there is some sort of a little box that is attached back here. Oh, by the way, Lee's walking in during all this, and
I love
he's
his
like,
face.
Oh. He's like, I've been caught.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then North Korean goober goes to the command and control, and he confronts Danny about this entire thing. And he's absolutely furious. I put in my notes here, Lee is hilarious as the translator.
He's so great.
Yep. He's basically feeding his own narrative to each one of these folks. And yep. I loved it so much.
It's like a slightly different translation to both of them. It's so good.
Putting so much spin, and it's great. The Goober mentions Miles Dale here, which Danny does pick up on. Miles Dale, her antennas go up, and this totally initiates a investigation because she's noticed on this box, it's got a NASA logo on it. It's got a serial number. How on earth would this thing have ended up in North Korea? I mean, Danny's smart, and she's going to get to the bottom of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the progression of her thought. It's very subtle, but it's like, we don't have time for this. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, why don't you look into this? Like, but still kind of putting the guy off. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
It's a great progression.
This is awesome leadership because Daniel Poole is the best character on the show. We also get this awesome interaction between her and Lee right here. And, you know, she's asking how's Sung Moon, Moon Sung. I'm totally botching on her name, which it was in subtitles, but I didn't put it in my notes. But his wife, how's she doing? And Danny makes the comment here, we'll be back Earthside before we know it.
Definitely.
Which then segues right into Danny making a video for her son, Isaiah, her stepson, adopted son, because he's gotten married and they're going to have a baby, which I don't feel like enough time's progressed for all of this stuff, but maybe it was a shotgun wedding. But the bottom line is Danny's going to be a grandma.
Yeah. It's been at least 6 months since she's left. I mean, I think they're 6 months in and I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, so this video starts, and again, my antennas are up this entire episode.
Yeah,
and I see, I'm watching this before you, and I texted you. I was like, oh no,
yeah. Because
this is a good goodbye video. This is a goodbye video, right?
Oh, foreshadowing to the nth degree with everything that's happening right now, because they are teeing up Danny having the happy ending. This wonderful heartfelt message that I'm totally buying about her coming home and being a grandma and being the best grandma ever.
I missed your first steps, but I'm going to be there for your daughters and I can't wait. She's crying and
I've got chills right now just thinking about it. It's so good. It's perfect. It's
so good.
You're not a Trekkie, but I'm a Trekkie, and your daughter, my grandbaby, is going to be a Trekkie. We get a fun comment here as a longtime Trekkie about all three series. So what three Star Trek series exist in this universe? Bob Newhart show mentioned here. She starts going down the list. She mentions Columbo. She mentions MASH. I mean, the list goes on. It's wonderful. I love it so much. What three Star Trek series exist in this universe? That is a question I need an answer to now.
Yeah, it's funny that they mentioned three specifically.
Right.
And so you'd have like the original, Next Generation, and then what? Do you have Next Generation? I don't know.
That is the question. And I believe it's either Ron D. Moore or maybe it was Ben Nadivi, but somebody did go back on record in season two because there was a mention of Wrath of Khan, the movie, and coming out in 83 instead of 82. Put your nerd hats on, folks, because I'm about to dive deep here. But they actually confirmed that Star Trek Phase 2, which was a proposed series around 76, 77 that never happened in our timeline, actually did happen. It was basically a reboot with the original cast. A lot of that storyline, some of it got incorporated into Star Trek the Motion Picture, which does not happen in the For All Mankind timeline. And Wrath of Khan is the first film. So I think the second series is Star Trek Phase 2. Somebody mentioned perhaps Star Trek the Animated Series counts here as canon. Maybe that's the third series. But yeah, I don't know. Does TNG happen? Because a lot of early TNG concepts were things that were ripped from Star Trek Phase 2. I don't know. I need an answer on this. If anybody's going to the Episode 10 release party that's happening in Los Angeles with the panel, please ask the panel this question. I need to have an answer. What three Star Trek series exist? I want DS9 to exist. That's bottom line.
DS9 needs to exist, and Generations needs to exist. The movie? Did you watch
the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so is there a need for Generations to exist if TNG doesn't exist?
No.
Right. Right.
And I love that movie.
Do you really?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I do.
Interesting. So of the TNG movies, like, do you rate that higher than First Contact?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I love all of them. I don't know that I can rank them because it's been so long since I watched them.
Okay.
But the only, like, the first Star Wars movie is okay. The one where they go to the center of the universe is so garbage.
Star Wars or Star Trek? Because now you're jumping around, dude.
Star Trek, sorry.
Get your franchises straight.
Oh, I didn't mean to say. Yeah, Star Trek. And
the William Shatner movie, Star Trek V, I think is the one you're talking about. Yeah. So I've already started building out a lot of headcanon here. So I've got Wrath of Khan happens. Basically, the trilogy of stories there, Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, and Voyage Home still happens. But Voyage Home, in our timeline, they go back to 1986. And they have to get some sort of elements to recharge the dilithium crystals. And they use the nuclear reactor on the USS Enterprise naval aircraft carrier. I think they had to use the nuclear reactor on Pathfinder instead in this timeline. This is my alt theory. I've put a lot of thought into this. Okay. Yeah. Nerd. These are things that happen when you're on Discord and you're talking about this stuff. Mm. So, all right. Have I totally sidetracked us enough on Star Trek?
Yes.
Star Wars? Good.
I don't know.
That's not it. Meanwhile, at Elaida's house, Margo arrives, and Sergei's been there for a couple of hours, and it's time to get to work. And they're sitting down, they're having a dinner, like, with the Elaida's family. And she's not Rosales, because she got married. She should have a different name. So I don't know. And I don't know what her family name is now. And I'm blanking on that. And that makes me sad. I wrote here a couple of things, a couple of interesting tidbits. They're talking about the trajectories and that kind of stuff. Sergei here actually sounds pretty pro-Mars. Like, what we're doing is really going to cause Mars to really no longer be a thing that we're going to invest in.
It's pro-Mars or it's anti-Russia.
Yeah,
maybe both.
Yeah, because he feels like he's at least teeing up some good stuff for Krasenko and his cronies, and he doesn't like that he's doing that.
Yeah,
so I thought that was really good. Without competition, there's no progress. I thought an interesting quote in this entire conversation. I thought that was good. I also put here like. Elaida's husband is an MVP. He's just a good dude.
Yeah.
And he's really one of those low key characters that is just a really good dude. He's loyal to his family. He's loyal to Elaida. And I wanted to call out good things when I see him.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Awesome moment here. Margo hands Elaida's kids Tootsie Rolls.
Yep. And perfect. She smiles. And so this tells me that there has been a 180 in their relationship in that, you know, she was like, get my daughter's name out of your mouth two episodes ago.
Yeah.
And now she's smiling at, you know, the Tootsie Roll exchange.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Sergei, y'all, he definitely has feelings for Margo here. He's made a mixtape. He's got a Duke Ellington CD that he gives to her. Also, CDs exist in this universe. I think this is the first time we've seen one.
Yeah.
And Sergei asks Margo if she's given any more thought to his suggestion about them going to Brazil.
Yeah.
Hence title of episode.
And this does. So I had questioned the smile two episodes ago or last episode, whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure did. And I shut it down and I was wrong.
Yeah. And he's like. I'm going after the woman I love. That's what that smile was.
Yeah.
And so this wasn't just a, hey, I got to give you a warning. Now I'm going to go back to my wife. It's I'm going to go after the woman I love. And what wife?
Right. I don't like it. I don't like it, guys. And I just you know, take righteousness out of it for just a second. Take the outcome of where this is going to end up, which to me was inevitable at this point, because he's back in the fray and Russia's not going to like that. Soviet Union's not going to like that. I mean, this is the castaway scenario flips. The castaway was in the opening montage of this season. It exists in this universe. This is Helen Hunt has built a life and she makes the decision to run away from her life to go be with a former lover who she thought was dead. Like, Sergei's living that out, and I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it. He's made a commitment, he's built a life, and he's walking away from it. I'm not okay with it.
No, it is definitely wrong. And but it is complicated, and it's like, man.
It is. And I'm okay with him even wrestling with it. But at the end of the day, he has to make the right decision, and I don't feel like he is here, and that bugs me.
And his wrestling was, should I turn left or right? Okay, right. We're done.
Yeah, like he turns and he goes on the interstate, and we get the confirmation here. He's not just going to warn Margot. He wants a life with her.
Yeah, this is also like the underrated rock opera Tommy, where Tommy's mother or father goes off to war, and his mother finds out he died. She shacks up with the dude, and then the dad comes back and they kill him, and Tommy sees it happen.
Wow.
And he is a deaf, dumb, and blind kid from there on.
Wow. That's deep. Rock operas. I went deep Trekkie there and you went rock opera. So
yeah,
it's good information. We get a fun little exchange here between Apollo Soyuz and Soyuz Apollo, which I thought was it was cute. It was fun. I put here ugh foreshadowing in my notes. Oh
yeah,
I know. Meanwhile, at Eli's office, we get Danny sending in a video d-mail. And she's been doing some investigation here. Danny being who she is, she gets the bottom of what's going on. She's putting together the smuggling's been going on. Stuff's missing from Phoenix. We thought that it was in boxes. We opened containers and inventories didn't match, and we've got a whole bunch of video equipment that's missing, and this is totally on Eli's radar now. What could they do with this equipment? Eli calls in Will, and he wants to talk to Irina, and they're gonna have a chat about it.
Will, the most important person in the government,
they're like, keeping Will around, man. They're keeping Will around.
It's so funny and random though. Like, it's like, get Will.
Right.
like he's the guy that would know what to do.
Yeah. They're keeping him around. Yeah. Future seasons, I feel like they've got things they want to do with Will. So they're keeping him around. Meanwhile, at North Korea, AKA Happy Valley, the North Korean goober is tracking Miles. And I actually liked this sequence. He's sitting there and he's kind of creeping on the screens and he's figuring out that Miles went into an elevator and he never came out. Dum, dum, dum. Something's up with this. I thought it was a cool sequence.
I really love the sequence. I love that the UI has the two floors.
Yes.
Like, with I imagine it's Korean letters.
Yes.
So what's weird about that is if they are tapping into existing infrastructure, why would it have Korean letters?
Yeah. And there was also a message that went up on the screen that was subtitled here that says something about floors offline or something like that. And I did not put it exactly in my notes here, but there was something there to give us the interpretation of the characters that he was reading on the screen, which I thought was kind of funny. Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
Meanwhile, we do jump right back to Eli's office. Will, Eli, and Irina are on a Zoom call, and they're putting together that something's up with the Ranger 1 mission. They've got less than 24 hours till the burn at this point, and Irina suggests that they go ahead and activate their KGB and CIA agents to get to the bottom of what's going on here.
I love Irina is just cool, calculated, logical, and Eli is just losing it.
He really is.
Yeah.
Totally is. I thought that was interesting. And I, from this point on, I feel like the accelerator just goes from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
So we get a scene next with Happy Valley with Danny and a staff meeting with two agents. And I put here a notes in a funny comment about working together like Apollo Soyuz, like KGB and CIA working together just because Danny inspired this with the handshake in space.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Danny's empowering them to go check on things, suggests that they start with Miles Dale. So his name is definitely high on her list. Mm-hmm. And another search of the base commences. Meanwhile, we get Kelly walking into Ed's quarters. He's not there. She's looking at some old family pics. We get one of little baby Shane with Kelly and Ed, which I thought was, or no, not Kelly, Karen. I'm sorry.
Karen. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Bounced around there. And Ed walks in and she wants to get to the bottom of what's going on with him. She can't put together why Ed is thick as thieves with Dev. And she knows that Ed is lying. What is really going on with you?
Was there a picture of Kelly there?
Yeah, there is. Okay. He's got like the whole timeline chronologically laid out basically on that shelf. I mean, there's definitely pics of him with young Shane, but then there's also ones with Kelly there as well. And with Alex. Okay. So yeah, it wasn't like, I had to go back and dissect that too. Like, does he not have Kelly in here? Is this all about Shane? Because what kind of message is that sending? That's no good. But he does. He has pictures of basically his whole life. So I'm okay with that. Meanwhile, North Korean Goober is checking out the elevator to see what's up. And he sees little scratches near the panel. And he realizes that stuff's been tampered with. And he's putting this all together.
Yeah.
And we just segue directly into the base being tossed upside down here. Miles is going to go check on some HVAC call that he's been put on.
Which the tossing of the base, like,
yeah.
Okay, we're looking for this monitor. Is it in their mattress? Right. Is it under this blanket? No. Okay. Is it in this book?
Oh, I'm ruined. Oh, so good, Brian. I love it. So meanwhile, he's going to make his house call on the HVAC, and I put here in all caps to quote Admiral Akbar, "It's a trap."
Yeah.
And CIA and KGB guys start interrogating him.
Yummy.
Meanwhile, we head back to Ed's quarters, and we get here Ed's quote about wanting to go out in a blaze of glory, which was, I believe, at this point, the last scene from the trailer of things that we have not seen in this series so far. So,
there's some good stuff
in this convo.
Yeah. It's so good. And I think I wrote down that it's the first time we see Ed really being honest with her.
Yes. Vulnerable.
And, yeah. Love vulnerable. It. And he is letting it out and she breaks him down. And it's so, his face in this is so good. He is broken. He realizes that, like, you know, he has nothing left and he has to face it here. And it's so good.
Yeah. We get some really great callbacks, two of them specifically to season 2, where he's recalling a conversation that Gordo had about his dad and just the progression and being afraid towards the end of his life, which Ed totally uses that man up conversation with Gordo in that and totally brushes the thing off and treats him like he's an idiot. So I like now that as he's older, there's a tender side of him that is also really fear-based. We also get a callback to a conversation that he had with Karen about wanting to build something that lasts. Mm. And really Happy Valley being that thing, a place for his grandson, which I thought this was perfect. I thought it was very touching, very well done conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. So they get through this. Ed apologizes here to his daughter about not being there for he and Alex. And I'm buying it. I mean, I'm 100% double down. Throw all in here. I'm all in on this relationship. I thought it was perfect.
Yep.
And then Kelly brings it back around, pushes him again. What are you and Dev up to?
Yeah.
And
does he tell her?
I think he does. I think he spills the beans, and I'm interested to see what implications that has, because Kelly is more of a black and white person like Elaida. What's she going to do with that information? But that's where that scene ends. We don't get any more of it in this episode. So I can't wait to get back to that. Yep. What happens here? Oh, so good. Meanwhile, back to Brian's favorite scene of all time for this entire series.
Best season.
Miles is getting interrogated here. And he's playing it cool. Like, he's way too cool.
And I they just are doubling down on this, but where he's like, insurrection, tax evasion, like, come on.
I mean, he's leading the black market. So, I mean, how many actual charges can you press against the guy? I mean, that's one that could stick, at least, maybe. Yeah, I know. The CIA guy here, he does make it personal by talking about his friend Nick, who was burned alive. Man. Gets graphic talking about the suit melting into his flesh. It's heavy. Yeah. And KGB guy takes the first swing, and things just escalate from there.
Yeah, and I just have in my notes, all caps, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Milos has what's coming to him at this point for, I think, the Milos haters. Things are escalating. Now, are they going to – here's the thing. I mean, is torture effective? Are they actually going to get any type of answers out of him for doing this? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I did write down, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but Miles, the actor, like, he's a big dude. Like, I think he could have put up a fight there.
Yeah, and, totally.
He is much bigger than both those dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm buying him fighting back and being able to effectively do so. Curious to see where this goes from here at this point.
But just beat him to a pulp, guys. Like, just have at it.
Oh, Milos. You kind of brought this on yourself, dude. Like,
I actually have that scene up as my wallpaper.
Oh, so when I talk about going back and watching big set pieces of the series, this is going to be one that you just revisit over and over again.
Yeah.
That is dark, dude.
Just about having a bad day, you know, just turn it on, get a little smile.
I mean, Apollo Soyuz, if they could come together for a handshake in space, the CIA and the KGB can come together to beat the snot out of Miles.
Okay, so what's interesting, and I texted this to you, but Apollo Soyuz is mentioned three times in three different scenes by different, well, technically different people.
Yeah.
And so it's Margo and Sergey, the two operatives, and then Miles to the two operatives. And that's not something that is mentioned every episode. I don't even remember the last mention of it. I know it comes up, but like, it is odd that it came up three times in three scenes. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, where are they going with that? More homages to some of Danny's great achievements because we're going to kill her next week. I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried. And all right, sorry, I'm getting to predictions. We got a couple more scenes here. Big scene down on the fourth floor. Because North Korean goober, he's down there, he's walking around, he hears voices, he walks up just outside the ghost ops area. This is where there was some subtitles and there was some subtext that happens about trusting that Dev and Old Man Mars have a plan because they're going to end up staying on Mars longer than they expected to.
Well, and then they're talking about tunnels that you can go through and not be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, where would that be?
Right. Yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that? So, yeah, I need more information on that, but I felt like there was some more teeing up for something in the future there. Meanwhile, we get North Korean goober. Somebody hits him from behind, stuns him, and camera pans over, and it's our man Lee.
Mm.
Fight ensues.
And Lee is as shocked as we are.
He really was. So did he not know it was North Korean goober? Or I don't think was he like shocked that he just beat, like he just bumped a dude in the head with a flashlight head?
And I don't think he knew.
Okay. Okay.
But what was the plan there? No matter who it was, what was the plan?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Lee knew.
I think.
But yeah, a fight ensues here. The other big guy, and I'm blanking on his name, but he gets involved and he pulls Goober off. He starts getting choked, and then Lee gets a chokehold on North Korean Goober and he doesn't let go. And Lee is now a murderer.
He is. And the two guys, or the guy and the girl, they're sitting there and they're like, what the heck?
Yeah. With stronger language.
Yeah.
Wow. Lee just killed a guy.
Yep.
I'm stunned at this point. And I think, I think this is the big thing, because at this point I'm watching a couple hours after most of my friends, including you. And I'm like, Okay, that was the big thing.
Roll credits. Wait,
no. There's more. We head back to some rainy, dumpy motel
in Houston. Where it's rainy and it's dark. You're like, oh, it's going down.
It's going down. And Sergey, he's in some dumpy motel and he's walking upstairs with his bag of McDonald's. And we get this beautiful back and forth montage with Margot in her fancy hotel room with her fancy platter, eating a real cheeseburger, not a Big Mac, not the most garbage fast food that you could possibly get. And she's taking all the toppings off. And Sergey is confused and thinks that you need to put ketchup on top of a Big Mac. I love
the detail of the Big Mac. Like it had like some special sauce on like the side of the bun.
Right.
Like it was like just garbage put together.
Right.
Good detail.
Yeah. But I mean, was McDonald's involved here? Was this direct product placement? Like, because they were sure to make sure we knew that this was McDonald's and he's eating a Big Mac. So I thought that was interesting. And why would they choose to be associated with the assassination of Sergey Nikolov? May he rest in peace.
Now, here's a thought. Okay. Now, I love Sergey. He is one of my favorite characters, but did he actually deserve this? And I think a case is made that if you put ketchup on a Big Mac, like, you know what I'm saying? Just take him out.
Oh, man. I mean, here's my deal. Like, I feel like he signed his own death certificate the moment he jumped back into the fray. Like, I think he could have gone and warned Margot and went back to his life in Iowa, and I think he had been fine. But when he stayed in Houston and he was involved, KGB everywhere, like this was a Russian assassin, right?
Yes.
Like, this was totally Irina Morozova pulling the strings here, and she had him offed.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it's not necessarily that he got involved, but him getting involved gave him visibility, even though he was in the background. So I don't know how she found out, but I mean, it's KGB. Yeah. So,
right.
But yeah, I think exactly. I don't think he thought he was signing his death warrant. I think he thought he was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Still for me, shocking, and I'm sad. I don't know if I'm heartbroken because I don't like the decision making that he's making here. But I am, I'm very sad, and I'm curious to see where this goes. As far as, is Margot going to find out about this season? Is what's her reaction going to be? Or is it just going to be Sergey's I'm not getting any type of communications relayed to me from him. And obviously here, the assassin is also trying to stage this as like a suicide. And how much are people going to buy into that? We'll see.
Well, never mind.
Oh, no. If you're eating McDonald's, I mean, you've already made some bad choices in your life.
Exactly. There you go. That was a better version of what I was going to say.
Yeah. You've already signed your own death sentence just eating. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm on a vent now about McDonald's hate, but the lowest common denominator of fast food. He didn't even if you're going cheap burger, tell us an email, happyvalleyfam@gmail.com. But Wendy's is so much more superior to eating McDonald's. If you're going cheap burger, fast food garbage, which, is already a questionable decision, And I know that's snob of me, but go Wendy's. Like, no, why do you go McDonald's?
So here's the thing, okay? Here's the deal.
All right.
A Big Mac could be good, right?
Okay.
And maybe. Burger King, this is a Burger King used to do a Big King, which was their Big Mac.
Yeah.
And it was so much better. I don't know if they still have it. I don't really go there, but
yeah.
But like the idea is solid.
Sure.
Two like good patties, some of that special sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And AKA Thousand Island dressing, because that's all it is.
Yeah. Love it. like the idea is good, but the execution is garbage. Yes.
Yeah. And well, and I mean, along your point, Burger King, I mean, the whole flame broiled thing, like it tastes better. It tastes like an actual burger. Not something that was, pulled out of the freezer and, thrown on a hot plate for a couple of minutes. Like,
but for some reason, because they don't have Happy Meals, they have less sponsorship bucks. So we get McDonald's.
Also, if you're a meat eater, just eat a real burger, like cook it on the grill, eat a real burger, not some McDonald's garbage, because it's not the same. Like, I would pick Crystal's, a.k.a. White Castle, over that any day of the week. And those are garbage.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyways. Oh, Brian, I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm sad about Sergey. I'm sad about the decisions that he made that led to this inevitable outcome of him being assassinated.
Mm. Yeah. This is a good episode, though. It's a very good episode.
I think it was, too. And so overall, I know you have some struggles and some challenges with this season. I think this is your least favorite season for All Mankind. Does that mean it's bad? Does it just mean it's mediocre? Like, how do you feel?
So I really, looking at the season as a whole, I know I picked at it. Mm-hmm. I think it is my least favorite season. And it's still great. Like, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is some of the best television out there.
Okay.
But also, I think it's my least favorite.
Okay. Fair enough. Oh, where do we go from here? I do have some predictions, if we want to segue to talking about that. I'm sticking to my, a couple of things. Number one, at this point, there was two big things that I had going into this. Like, there's going to be some 9/11 level event. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. I don't think we're getting it. So I'm accepting that I was wrong on that one. Number two, I'm sticking to my theory that there's going to be an asteroid that strikes Mars.
You did call that. You called that first.
I think it's happening, y'all. I think it's happening next week. And I'm thinking now there's going to be some sort of a Titanic lifeboat type of scenario where not everybody's going to be able to evacuate in time from the Happy Valley base. And I think Danny and or Ed or both are going to, and or also means both. I don't know why I had to make that redundant there, but I think they're both going to end up having to stay behind and die a hero's death. And I don't know where the show goes from here, if that goes down.
So, okay. If an asteroid that large hits,
mm-hmm.
like, is there not some like radiation fallout that happens? I'm not a scientist. I believe that for some reason, though.
Well, so you might be combining things there, because you think large explosion means some sort of a nuclear bomb type of scenario, which is going to emit large amounts of radiation. I don't know if an asteroid, which could create an explosion at that scale or even bigger, if that necessarily means it emits radiation into the atmosphere.
So specifically to asteroids, either I've read this or it was on some TV show or movie. And mm-hmm. so it totally could be false. But the reason I'm asking is, okay, so let's think about this. 10 years from now, if there is going to be a fifth season, asteroid hits, mm-hmm. They still need to go to Mars to mine this asteroid that is impacted. But are they able to? Are they able to?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's where you know, I start poking the holes in my own theory, because if this thing crashes, like, is there an incentive to keep going back to Mars? You know, what happens overall to the space program? I'm not sure.
I mean, there is, in that now it's on the surface of the planet. You also have to get it into the atmosphere. That's probably going to, you know, double the cost or whatever, but
sure.
I don't know. So I've got a couple thoughts. You know, it wasn't accidentally said that he wants to go out in a blaze of glory. Mm-hmm. I think Ed gets that. I think he gets it. And can he get that not getting on a lifeboat? I don't think so.
Mm.
So I would like to see Pilot Ed one more time. I don't know that we get that. But
yeah,
because what is he going to pilot? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Do they slow it down enough that it falls into the Martian atmosphere, but maybe they slow it down even more so that it doesn't like burn up completely, which, I mean, it's a huge asteroid, so surely it would reach the surface, at least large portions of it. Maybe he has to get involved in some sort of a plan B there, to your point, so that this thing is mineable in the future. Yeah, that's interesting. You're adding to my theory in ways that I hadn't even thought through. So that's interesting. I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's whatever it is, it's going to be heartbreaking. We are going to lose people. I'm excited.
Yeah. So here's my next question. So of the original, the OG3, like, are any of them safe at this point? Or are we going to lose all three next week?
I think Margo ends up turning herself in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that we lose her, but I don't know. We lose Ed or Danny, and I think we lose Ed. But there was the goodbye note, so I don't know.
I know. Which I like that they're teeing that up so that at least it's in our heads. Like, number one, nobody's safe, and who's it going to be? Because I feel like at least one of these three is going to die. Probably two. I still think both Ed and Danny go next week. And I think Margo's the one that's safe, which probably means then that Margo's the one that's not safe, because Karen Baldwin was not on my radar last year as the one who was going to bite it. And she did. So, next week is an hour and 16 minutes, so it's a longer episode, which is good. I think they're going to cover a lot of territory. Can we go ahead and jump forward? Because there's going to be some sort of final scene where there's going to be a time jump. So they're going to jump to the 2010s, and if they follow the pattern of kind of the TikTok of 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, you know, it's about getting to a thing, and then it's about establishing life there at the thing. I feel like their time jump's going to include the next thing that they're going to reach for. So, you know, is that, you know, one of the moons like Titan or Europa? Is it going to be Venus? Like, I feel like we're going to jump to something else. Is it going to be an asteroid? Is it what's the one that was in, I'm blanking, The Expanse? Is it like Eros? Is it going to be that? Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that, so for that scenario, I almost think they need to not have it crash on a planet and end up in some atmosphere orbit.
Yeah.
Because if it crashes on Mars or Earth,
mm-hmm.
that feels like a bigger than 10-year problem to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then sorry, go ahead.
Well, if it crashes on Mars, like, your infrastructure is gone, right?
Right. However, is the effort to rebuild an infrastructure on the surface of a planet easier than trying to build the infrastructure in orbit to harvest the material from this asteroid? I think it would be. So if they decide to rebuild, the return on investment, I don't think it's 40 years, because I don't think they need 4,000 space vehicles. Mm-hmm. To get to this thing, if it's sitting on the surface of a planet, to be able to literally mine it. And, you know, we get the fun promotional material this year has been like an asteroid dude with like the the pick, the axe in his hand, yeah. the pickaxe in his hand. Yeah. I'm blanking on what that's called. Thank you.
Yeah.
So are they going to be standing on the surface of Mars harvesting this thing? Ding, ding, maybe. Ding. Yeah. That's the sound that he would make.
I don't know. I don't yeah. know, man. Is there season five?
I think we're going to get the announcement next week. I think Apple's sitting on it until the announcement at the watch party that's happening next week.
Okay.
Yeah. I just, the numbers, the little bit of data that I've been able to see is, you know, this thing is still, it's got a good viewership. It looks like a couple million people are watching these episodes, which I think is still big enough for them to justify going ahead and funding another season. I hope. But I think I have reason to believe that hope is not misplaced.
Yeah. I did write down, Danny Stevens does not show up in this episode. He's not mentioned. They are really getting us ready for this reveal.
Okay. So I'm going to latch on to your theory about Danny Stevens and him being on Sojourner 1. So Sojourner 1, it kind of crashed into Mars and the engines were damaged, meaning it couldn't get all the way back to Earth. But what if it could still fly up into the atmosphere? And even though they ate Danny Stevens' hamburgers back in 95, he is, in fact, still alive. And Ed has to go commandeer Sojourner 1 and fly it up into the asteroid somehow to die his hero's death, with Danny Stevens as his co-pilot, with Danny Stevens then confessing to the entire relationship thing with Karen as they just blow up and go out in their blaze of glory.
Mm.
That would be putting a button on the entire thing.
Seems very possible to me. Very possible.
Okay. I'm almost on board with your outlandish Danny Stevens is still alive thread. And the buried gun is somehow going to get incorporated.
Yeah. The buried gun. Yeah. That's what's so funny about the show. Like, they lay things like that you're like, okay, remember that thing. And then they just never talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could still come up, but it won't. We don't have time for that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And I've got all kinds of like theory stuff about the time jump stuff, into the 2010s, you know, what happens there, like politically, but between the two seasons, you know, are we going to see a new world, in the time jump, or is it going to be more Mars or what? So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. And they've been laying the tracks for Gore losing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think what would be interesting is if they go that route, you know, you've got Bragg, who was the Republican who, you know, thinks that the water has canals, the canals have water in it on Mars. And he's just, you know, wants to defund NASA. I could see the space dark ages happening in the US for, you know, 4 years. So NASA gets defunded. You know, Helios is still a thing and the private space program is still thriving, but NASA's not. And then that sets up a 2008 election, which, of course, in our timeline is when Barack Obama became president. But they keep mentioning JFK Jr. in the season 3 montage and the season 4 montage. I think JFK Jr. becomes the president of the United States. And just as his dad gave the "We Choose to Go to the Moon" speech, it reignites the space race. We have a renaissance and we're heading out either to like the asteroids or to a moon like Titan or Europa at Jupiter. Titan's at Saturn, Europa's at Jupiter, or maybe we're going to Venus. Like, I think that's going to be the next frontier. They're going to go ahead and tee that up for us at the end of this episode. We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and really depending on if it crashes on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That changes things, I think, because then we're not cleaning that up in 10 years and, you know, and moving past it. I don't think. I don't know, man. I don't know. It really, like, this is the first time where I think we're thinking we just have no clue where they're going to go.
So the interesting thing about if this rock is on the surface of Mars, would it be easier to mine/harvest material from it like on the surface of Mars, do you need 4,000 space vehicles to be built to undertake that endeavor? It might actually be cheaper if it's on Mars. It's not the outcome they wanted because they're going to have to rebuild Happy Valley or whatever infrastructure, depending on how close this thing crashes to it. But we've seen in the promotional art, the dude with like the pickaxe, like the astronaut, like, is that going to be an actual thing? in the time jump or whatever, that could be a thing. I'm curious to see. I think it's not a death sentence for Mars if the asteroid crashes into it. So
I think it really depends on how long it takes for them to be able to build the infrastructure back up. And is there a dust cloud that takes years to settle? Is there, nuclear fallout? I just don't know what that causes.
Yeah, so, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay, so here's one thing I don't understand. 4,000 vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's a big asteroid, okay?
Sure.
That's a lot of vehicles, though. And there's more vehicles than asteroid. Am I not right?
Well, and how big is a... how do you define vehicle? Like, that's kind of my question. So...
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I guess one of my thoughts, too, was if the asteroid's on the surface, they'd have to get stuff back up into the atmosphere.
Sure.
But it sounds like that might have been the plan anyway, to mine it, process it, and then ship it.
Yeah, I kind of interpret it that way. So you're going to have some material that's going to go down to the surface for processing.
Yeah.
And then the pure iridium is what then is exported back to Earth. So I feel like they're cutting out some middleman if this rock is resting on the surface of Mars.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Can we get Leslie's thoughts in this?
Oh, please. Let's get Leslie's take.
Okay.
That was crazy. I can't wait to see what happens next.
It was crazy.
That's it.
Okay.
It was crazy. Spot on.
Can't wait to see what happens next. Yeah, that's great.
We just spent an hour plus talking about this thing, and Leslie succinctly summed it all up in a sentence and a half.
So it's really funny as we watched this again last night, and it ended, and I was like, man, isn't that crazy? And she's like, yeah, that's so sad about Sergey, and I just can't imagine what they're going to do next week. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, that's all I have to say about it. And she just kind of smiled at me. I was like, did we just do a podcast? She's like, yeah, that's our podcast.
Yeah. So I ended up watching it Thursday night, really late by myself. And I watched it again last night with my wife, Holly.
You watched it by yourself Thursday night?
I did. All of that. I know.
All of that. You watched it by yourself?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. So, but I was trying to get my phone up to get her reaction on video, and I wasn't able to, without trying to spoil it, but there was definitely a look of shock on my wife's face. And, she's like, why are you not more shocked? I'm like, I've had a day to process this. So,
well, Leslie, my wife, is playing on her phone while Sergey's shaking his umbrella off. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious because Holly's, scrolling through reels or whatever. And I'm just like, oh man, look at that. He's eating a Big Mac. And I'm making all these dumb comments trying to get her to look at the screen. Oh man. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. By the way, for those who are still listening, thank you. You're amazing. We had to re-record this part because I screwed up and recordings didn't happen. So you actually got a tidbit there that we didn't get on the first recording.
I think this is a better version of it. So
I think so, too. Brian, we did get a couple of emails. If we want to go ahead and tackle and talk about those as well. This first email, this is from Alex. And Alex is a salesman, and he wants us to buy his services to help make us amazing and awesome. And He basically gives us an ultimatum in the email and says, I'd love to listen to the show to support it. So, hey, I want to sell you my services and I would love to listen, but he doesn't. So thanks, Alex.
He actually gave us a job to do, to send him episodes so he could listen.
Yeah. So we're not buying your services, buddy.
No, Alex.
It's going to be a hard no for me. So Jade also emailed us and gave us her take on this episode. She says, no table setting this week, more like grave digging. Aww. She says she's really heartbroken about the Margot Sergei thing. Of course, the writers had to do something awful to us, and this was it. It was bleak. I wonder what her reaction will be. Is she going to escape to Brazil anyway? Is she going to shoot herself? Is she going to be shot? She has no idea.
I think that she almost has to turn herself in. She's had the redemption with Leda. Mm-hmm. And I think if she did the wrong thing again, that would be over. Yeah. And she knows it and she cares about that. And so I think she's in the US.
Yeah. I agree. I think at this point she does the right thing. And, you know, what happens future facing with her? I think she faces a judge and jury. I think she's going to prison. But maybe she gets a presidential pardon or something like that, and she can still be involved in the fray in the future. I think so.
And that could be Al Gore trying to get his win in, because he's had so many losses.
Right.
She may be the saving grace to this whole thing if it doesn't crash. But one thing's for certain is she's not going back to Russia.
No, I don't see any scenario.
No.
Especially if she becomes aware of the outcome with Sergei, she's going to know this was not suicide. He was assassinated and Arena was involved.
Yep.
So yeah, big time. Jade also says lots of comments on social media having a go about season 4 being awful. She says, I don't think it's as good of a season as seasons 1 through 3, but it isn't bad. I can't decide which is better between seasons 1 and 2, but I'll put them on par with one another. And season 3 was a masterpiece. Mm. I don't agree at my rankings. I think this is better than 3 personally. Would love to get your rankings there.
Yeah, we need to get the last episode and then we can do our rankings in our wrap.
Okay. All right, fine. I do think 3 was a mess on the back end. And I don't think 4
on the back end.
Okay. She also says, I hope Milos squeals like a little female dog that he is with the CIA and KGB beating. No idea what to make of the North Korean commander. And I didn't like the extended Danny Poole thing with her stepson. That didn't bode well. Mm-hmm. We totally agree. She says, so many loose ends to tie up in the last episode. We've never had a cliffhanger with For All Mankind. They've successfully tidied up all the plot lines. And then a million years to wait until season 5. Sadness.
Yeah, that's something I like about this show is you're not jumping the shark. You're not like, who is holding the gun? I mean, you get a little bit of that, but overall, they are buttoning it up and resetting with the 10-year jump. And I love that.
Yes, indeed. Jade also says that we need to go back and do a podcast for the other seasons. So there's another vote
if you in favor do of that. With us, Jade, so we have one person listening. We're in.
Okay. That's all it took for Brian. It's good to know. Oh man. It's been a great season, for me. It's been a great episode and I can't wait to see how they button this all up next week. And I have every reason to believe that they will.
Yeah. They'll land it. I'm sure.
Yep. Good stuff. Whew. Brian, any other final thoughts?
I'm very excited for the last episode. I think, I don't know. I have less to say because I want to see what they do and we can just guess and guess and guess, but they're going to do what they're going to do. And, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, Brian, where can people find you online?
So I've got a LinkedIn lead generation company called Prospects. The link will be in the show notes. It's go prospects with an X, .com. And if you've got a, if you're in sales or you've got a business, I'd love to chat with you. What about you, Donnie?
I am on YouTube, and that channel is called Tech Winner. I do just reviews of different little tech products and that kind of fun stuff. It's mildly successful. And if you don't want to learn more, go check it out in the show notes.
It's great, man.
Ooh, well, Brian, what music are you teeing up to take us out this week?
So I think with the notable deaths, especially with Sergey, the now American, we are going to end with Taps.
Oh, may you rest in peace, Sergey, even if you cheated on your Iowa wife. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Bob.